We'll start because the caddy's in a rush. You want to join? Can you hear from there? I'll have to speak up. Okay. So we've been learning the Mishnah in the 8th parak of Sanhedrin, Ben Soira Moira. The Mishnah is related to Ben Soira Moira. Ben Soira Moira is a child who at the moment is absolutely innocent, hasn't done a thing, yet we're going to punish him based on Nidon al Shem Sofo, judged based on the outcome. At the end of the day, his parents are going to run out of money to feed his habit of eating lots of rare meat and drinking fine Italian wines. And so he's going to go out into the street and he's going to be a highway bandit and end up killing someone to get the money to feed his habit. So too, the same is true by our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Habab Machteris, a person who is tunneling into a house to come and steal your candlesticks, and he spent a long time digging that tunnel. So much so that he knows what's going to happen when he comes into the house. If the homeowner happens to be awake or he's in, he's going to stand up and he's not going to let the burglar, right? Not thief.
The thief is someone who does it.
So he's a burglar. This one is a burglar.
Burglar is someone who comes sneaking in.
Okay, so this burglar, he's not going to let the burglar steal his candlesticks. He's not going to stand up against him. And seeing as the burglar has put in so much effort into digging his tunnel, he knows what the story is going to be. And so he's going to kill the homeowner. And the Torah says, when someone comes to kill you, you're allowed to get up and kill him first. That we have a rule and an exception to the rule and an exception to the exception for those that were with us last week. Okay, so that is the ruling. So the Mishnah says, Habob Machteris, Nidon al Shem Sofo, he's judged based on his outcome, and therefore one is allowed to kill him. As the Torah says, the Pasuk says, Ein lo damim, he does not have blood. And therefore, he's a dead man walking. You're allowed to kill someone that doesn't have blood. He doesn't have blood in it going through his veins. Okay. Okay, then we saw a brisa last week we started seeing, and we had an interesting question on it. Omar Rav. Where do we have this? This is two lines below the gray strip. Omar Rav, second word in. Omar Rav. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, Victor. Omar Rav, right there.
Thank you.
Habob Machteris, a person is coming in a tunnel, Vernotel Kalim, and he stole the candlesticks. Yeah? He was successful in stealing the candlesticks. Vyatza, and he escaped. Potter. He is exempt. Exempt from what?
Kilim. Death.
Punishment? Exempt from death?
Which one you mean? The one? What?
Do I have more information than you?
No.
Okay. Habob Machteris, if someone comes in a tunnel, Vernot al Kalim, and he stole Kalim, Vyatza, and he escaped. Potter. He is exempt. What do you think he's exempt from?
Punishment?
Which punishment?
Yes.
What do you mean death? You think he's chayiv, Misa? You think he's guilty for death?
No, but
he stole candlesticks. You're gonna kill him? No, what sort of death do you want to kill him? You want to stone him or you want to strangle?
This question: if he's going to steal something, but if somebody saw him,
if he was seen, then before he escaped, then. He's allowed to be killed. We're allowed to kill him. Why are we allowed to kill him?
Because he is going to kill.
Because he's going to kill. Now he's run away. He's escaped. Is he going to kill anyone?
No. He's not attacking.
Do we say Ein Lo Damim, or are we going to say now Yesh Lo Damim? Oh, now he has blood. The blood started flowing through his system, through his body again, right? It's in his veins.
Alive again.
Now he's alive again. Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead. As soon as he leaves that tunnel, Tchias HaMesim. So what does it mean, pata? What does it mean he's exempt? It means he's exempt from paying for those kalim, those vessels, whatever he stole inside. He is exempt from paying for that. He tunneled into a house, he stole the candlesticks, and he was successful in escaping, pata. Doesn't have to pay. Doesn't have to give the candlesticks back. They're his.
That doesn't make any sense.
Those candlesticks are going to look very nice on his mantelpiece. His wife is going to be very happy with them. New candlesticks are light
now
on Friday night.
Now he gets Jim to come to take another one.
Charge the homeowner for the tunnel that he
not if you.
This is Azai.
If you expect to get him to the same again.
So what? Why? What do you mean? What are you telling me? He's pata. He stole candlesticks. And he's pata? He's exempt? What, you can just go around stealing something and take your watch, Mr. Steinberg, and I'm pata? Oh, if I would tunnel into your house. What do you mean? Why is he pata? The Gemara asks the question, my timer, what is the reason? Why on earth would he possibly be pata? Bedomim kaninhu. The Gemara answers, bedomim kaninhu. Meaning, literally, he acquired them with his blood. Pound of flesh, he bought them with his blood. Now, what does this mean? So remember, last week we spoke about the principle called Kam Lei B'Derabimine, which has an American legal, secular legal
principle.
Ruling as well. But the rule is that if one is obligated in two punishments, in the same action one becomes obligated in two punishments for two crimes, we can only mete out the most severe, the stricter of the crimes.
Not lesser included ones.
Not lesser crimes. Yeah, if there's an option of two crimes that he did at the same time, and we've got two punishments, we're going to give only the most severe punishment. We're going to make him culpable, guilty of only the most severe thing that he did. Why? Because the concept is simple. Bichlal Masayim on it. The 100 is included in 200. Yeah, if we're going to say he's obligated a death penalty. Well, death penalty is much more severe than paying money. So, you know, we're not going to make him pay the money because he's already got his punishment of money, because money is included in death, because death is the most severe. So, when he did something that is obligated in two punishments, we're only going to give him the most severe, the most strict punishment. And we're only going to make him culpable. We're going to make him guilty, liable in the most severe punishment.
But for example, he just stole two different things for different people. One piece cost $1,000, another piece $100.
One second, when did he do it?
The same time.
Well, he went like...
No, but he came to the apartment, stole, there is two different people live here. And if he paid $1,001, second one...
It's a good question. I'm going to venture to guess that in one punishment, yeah, it can be more strict and more strict. It's not that this is a case of two punishments and we're going to give him the most strict. This is one punishment, which is you stole. Well, how much did you steal? Did he steal 100 or did he steal 200? If you stole 200, we're not going to say, whoa, you stole two items. We're only going to give you the 100 item. We're not going to give you the other item. Right? When it comes down to stealing, there you're going to be guilty of the total. Yeah, the total. Now, this is only when we're talking about two separate punishments, two separate crimes, but you happen to get a double whammy, yeah, both at exactly the same time. There, we're only going to give you the most strict. Therefore,
if we have this person, this burglar, is burrowing and tunneling into a house, and he, at that point, loses his blood, as it were, his ein leidamim, if I would come ahead and kill him, I wouldn't be liable for that. Essentially, what that means is, he is liable for the death penalty.
Why
he's stealing? He is chayev misa. Why? Because he's a reidif.
No, while he's stealing.
Yeah. While he's stealing, he is a reidif. And a reidif, person that's chasing after you to kill you, is chayev misa. You can kill him. If someone comes to kill you, hashkeim laharka, get up and kill him first. Yeah, so essentially, at the point, the moment that he stole the candlesticks, he was essentially chayev misa, obligated a death penalty. Therefore, the principle of kam leibet a rabbi mine means that he's only going to be getting the stricter punishment. Now, the problem is, he's already left. So now he's not chayev misa anymore. That's just a technicality. At the moment in time that he stole the candlesticks, he was very much chayev misa. Therefore, seeing as at that moment of candlestick stealing, he was chayev misa, he's not liable for the crime of stealing the candlesticks. And he is pater. This is the opinion of Rav. Okay? Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense. Right? Now we understand the principles of the Torah. Kam leibet rabbi mine means he's only... Yeah? That's what the Gemara means. Bedamim kaninu, he acquired them with his blood, seeing as he was chayev misa, he lost his blood at that time, therefore he loses that lesser crime, falls by the wayside. Yes, Professor?
No?
You said nothing, but you're...
You're singing. You're singing last on the
Sorry, good
morning. Your thinking was very loud. Okay.
I heard something.
Misinterpretation.
Okay. Omar Rava. Says Rava. This is again, second word in, one line below. Mistabra milse de Rav. Busha Shiver. Rava says, I don't like this. Mistabra. It only makes sense, milsei de rav b'sheshiver, if the item is no longer around, if the item has been broken. If on his way out, the candlestick snapped in half, then what Rav is saying makes sense. Zelesnu, because they're not around anymore, and you can't give them back. Aval notel, Loi! But if he actually took them, no, I don't understand. Okay? Meaning that if the candlesticks are still here, Rava says, give back the candlesticks. If they're not around, then we can't say you are obligated in financial compensation for the value of the candlesticks, but if the candlesticks are still here, says Rava, you got to give back those candlesticks.
What about damage?
Hmm?
He doesn't have to pay for the damage?
If they were broken,
right,
then he doesn't have to pay financial compensation. Rava agrees with Rav in that regard. If they're gone, financial compensation, that he doesn't have to pay. Why? Kam leibet rabbi mine. Yeah, he was chayev misa at the time that he sold them. But if the candlesticks are still here, you got to return them. Now, what? Why? Why would that be?
That he has to return them?
Yeah. What is the logic of Rava?
If he doesn't have to return them, it sounds like he doesn't acquire by chayav misa. They are not his.
But he should return it by request of owner or by request of court?
By request of the court. We're talking about halacha. We're talking about the din. Talking about...
No, but if he is not owner, he should return owner. What is the question? Why he should return?
Rav says, whether they're broken, whether they're not broken, you're pater. You're absolutely exempt. Mm-hmm. You stole them at the time that you were chayv misa. Come lebe b'rod, but the rabbi minei, you're exempt. Rava says, when it's broken, I hear. When it's broken, we can't obligate you the money because you were chayv misa. But if the candlesticks are still here, give them back. Give the candlesticks back.
Okay, he gives the candlesticks back. He's still broke in, regardless.
Oh, so Mr. Steinberg is saying, I don't understand Rava. Where's Rava coming from? Rava, you want to obligate him to pay the candlestick, to give the candlesticks back if they're still around? But he acquired them. Remember, yeah, we explained last week a little bit more. We said that when you steal something from someone, there's something called a kinyan gezela, an acquisition of theft. Yeah, an acquisition of theft, which means that the only way that we're going to be chayav of you, we're going to obligate you to pay something back, is if you actually took it, right? If you just took it just borrowed it, yeah, you just happened to have it in your hand as you borrowed it, we can't say you're chayav. We can't say you're obligated to pay that thing back, because what do you mean? It's not mine. Whose is it? It's yours. Come and take it. I'm not chayav to pay. You can't obligate me to pay back unless I actually acquired it. So that is the halachic mechanism called a kinyan gezela. You actually acquire it against the law. You're not allowed to. But there's an acquisition. But it becomes yours. Yeah. So according to Rav, it's very, very understandable what he's saying. If you stole it and you acquired it, what difference does it make whether it's around, whether it's not around? The moment that you stole it, you were chayav misa. You shouldn't have to give it back, even if the candlesticks are still here. So Rava, that says the other way and says, no, only makes sense if they're not around anymore. If they're not around, I agree. Not around, we're not going to obligate you to pay back. But if they're still here, give the candlesticks back. What do you mean? You acquired them. Do you hear the question?
Mm-hmm.
Akadi, do you hear the question?
No.
Professor?
What is the difference between...
Rava said you didn't acquire them.
What mean acquire? What is the difference? Still acquire.
When you steal something, if we would just say that theft is just, you know, is not an acquisition, then, I just took that cup. Am I chayav to pay that? Am I obligated to pay you back the cup? No, it's not. It's not mine. Come and take it. It broke. It wasn't mine. Maybe I was a shomer. I was a guard. I was watching over it. It was a pikadin. It was a deposit. I didn't. It's not mine. You're not going to obligate. Now, let's say now it's spilt over and broke by regular theft. Yeah, I stole something from you, and then it broke. Nothing to do with me. It's not mine. It's yours. Your phone broke. Okay, it happened to be in my possession, but it was yours.
Nothing.
It wasn't my possession. I was just looking after it for you. I just took it from you. No, so the only way, the halakhic mechanism that we're gonna be able to enforce any damages caused or any theft is if we say it's yours. You are obligated because you stole it and now it's in your possession. Illegally, but it's yours. We're going to obligate you if anything happens to
it. That makes a big difference. When you say illegally, it's yours.
Yeah, absolutely, illegally. It's called a Kenyan gazela. It's not called a Kenyan. It's not a regular purchase, right? Like you do at a shop.
It sounded before like you acquired. It's yours.
Yeah, legally absolutely.
Yours.
Where we say Bedamim Kenini, he acquired it with his blood. Okay, doesn't mean like he was, you know, such self-sacrifice. He dug into a tunnel. Look at him. He did a wonderful job. He
and
dug
then
a beautiful
yours.
Tunnel. That one. You know what? For that tunnel, that wonderful architecture there, you get these candlesticks as a bonus. No way. Yeah, that's not how it works. It means he's definitely in Shamayim. Yeah, he's a chayte. He's a very bad person. But yeah, in the Beis Din shel mata, the Beis Din down here, the court down here, we cannot carry out the punishment because of the halachic rule of kamen lebed rabbi. Yeah, but we're saying that there's an acquisition. You acquired it illegally, but you acquire something. Mm. So when you acquire something,
it's yours.
It's yours. So if you would acquire it at the same time as being obligated in some other punishment, then we can't mete out this punishment of the theft acquisition. So what difference should it make if the item is still around or the item is not here? You stole that item. You made a kinyan gezeila. You acquired it at the time that you were chayav misa.
Does Rava agree that you made a kinyan gezeila?
Oh. So, good, well pointed out. So, this, what do you mean by that?
Well, how does he rule in other cases? That is a kinyan or isn't?
Let me ask you a question. Would Rava say that in the case that it broke, that there was a kinyan gezeila?
I don't know.
What do you think? What does Rava say? If it broke, I agree with Rav. I agree with Rav that you're exempt.
Broke means you're stealing?
The candlesticks. You stole the candlesticks and then split in half.
Rava would say if it broke,
but he accepts for pain. For pain is...
Because you never acquired it.
Because he's no any... He broke, but he broke after he...
After he left, it's gone, and then the candlesticks smashed on the floor.
Ah, but excuse, but when he broke, he was who was owner, who possessor?
He took it out already.
It means now he's
yours. He'd already stolen it. Yes.
And after that, it's broken, and question: he is exempt from pain.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
At what exact point does it become his when he takes it in his hand, but he's still inside the owner's house, or when only he leaves?
The moment that he takes it in his hand. The difference being, when he was inside the owner's house, he was... Ein loy damim. He didn't have any blood. At that moment, he was chayav misa. When he left the tunnel, all of a sudden, he had tchias amesim.
And Rava agrees that he acquired it?
Seemingly, Rava agrees that he acquired it. Right? Why? Because when it breaks, he's going to say, you're potter, you're exempt. Because the point that you acquired it, the moment you acquired it, you were chayav misa as well. So he agrees with it. Just when it's still around, he says you've got to give the candlesticks back. Rashi explains what's going on. What is the explanation of this? Rashi says, why? Because when the item is still here, you can't say there was an acquisition. He didn't make an acquisition. If an item is still around, that's not the technicality, the halachic mechanism of how theft works. The halachic mechanism of how theft works, if the item is still around, what is the punishment of a person who steals something? What's the punishment? The punishment is? Give it back. That's not a punishment. It's not a fine, right? A punishment of lashes, a punishment of a penalty you have to pay, a punishment of the death penalty. That's a punishment. Giving something back is not per se a punishment. It's a reality. You took something away from him. It's his. Yeah. Therefore, you have to give it back. So says Rava, we don't need to come on to the halachic technicality of a kinyan gezeila if the item is still here. If the item is still here, it's called a deposit. You're looking after it for him. Again, against the law. You're not allowed to. Yeah, you're very much not allowed to. If you would lie about it, yeah, and say, I don't have it, and you would make an oath, and then it was later found to be in your property, there you have to pay a penalty. right? So there is a fine. It is very, very wrong. Yeah, but you're not saying it's right. But there's no acquisition that has been made, yeah, because right now it's just a deposit. So while it's deposited in my hands, I'm, as it were, looking after, yeah, against your will, yeah, against the law, I'm looking after your candlesticks for you. Give them back. If they become broken retroactively, what that does is it says that I made a kinyan. I made a kinyan gazela, and therefore the kinyan at the same time, an acquisition at the same time as being chayav misa, obligated to the death penalty. Come lebe de rabbi b'nei, we're only going to give you the most severe of penalty, which is death, which means you're exempt. Yeah, so Rava says it's true when it's broken. That I agree with Rav. I agree. We have this rule of only getting the most severe crime. But if the item is still around, you didn't acquire it. It's just a deposit. So this deposit, give it back.
What does it mean, still around? It's still in his hand?
It's still in existence, complete,
not broken,
as it were.
Can it be hidden in his house? Or
Wherever it is.
It hasn't been disposed of.
No. It means it's still shalem. Shalem.
Complete. Shalem.
It means it's still complete, it's still perfect.
In his possession.
Not necessarily.
And what happens if it's no longer in his possession?
He sold it.
If he sold it? I'm not sure. Let's speak about that another time. We've got enough Gemara to be learning in the meantime without. Okay. Arkady, you have a couple more minutes?
Okay. Don't worry.
It's 10 o'clock now.
Okay. No, but you can.
Okay. Yeah, is this clear? So this is Rava's argument on Rav, and he says that if it's Mistabra Milse de Rav, it makes sense this thing of Rav b'Sheshiva when it's broken. Then I agree with the whole premise and all of that technicality. Is everything fine? The less no, because it's not around anymore. So what has he got to give back? Therefore, he's obligated a compensation. He's obligated to compensation and a death penalty. Well, compensation is much lighter than a death penalty. We'll give him a death penalty, which technicality he can't get anymore because he already went out. Yeah, but at the moment, at the point where he stole it, he was obligated a death penalty, so he's going to be exempt. Aval, but not al, if it was just taken, light. It's not true. There he would indeed have to give it back, according to Rava. Va Elikim! Says the Gemara, but I swear to you, Omar Rav, afilu natal. Rav even says it when it was natal, even says it where if it's still complete, if it's still shalem. Rav wasn't just saying when it's broken. Rav was saying even if it was natal, even if it was still shalem, you are still exempt from having to give it back. Why? Daha yesh loy damim v'nansu chayev. Okay, daha, because behold, now Rav is going to bring a proof now that even if something is still around in your possession, it's still shalem, you still are obligated to pay for it. Daha yesh lo damim. What about in a case if yesh lo damim? Yep, if he would have blood. Yeah, not this ein lo damim, a regular case where he goes ahead and steals something. Maybe he's a thief now, or not a burglar. Yeah, he thieves and steals something away from someone. v'nensu, but subsequently that item becomes lost from him. Yeah? Excellent. This is similar to the question that you guys were asking before. What if he goes ahead and sells it on to someone? Or what if someone comes along and steals something? Let's say, Professor.
No. You say Yeshua Adam. You say he has blood, so he didn't exit the tunnel yet. He can't sell it to anybody. Nobody can take it from him. He's in the tunnel.
Laboratory. Remember, we're in a laboratory. Therefore, we can add in any detail that we like to make sure that it stays as.
How does he still have blood?
So now we're talking about a different case. We're not talking about a case of a tunnel. We're not talking about a case of that. We're talking about a regular case of a regular thief who steals something from someone. He has blood. He's not a murderer.
He ran away and he's selling it to someone.
No, one second. He's not. Forget the tunnel. Tunnel is what makes him ain't like
dumb. I took it from him and now I'm going to sell it to someone else. I'm not okay. him anymore. I ran away. There's no blood.
Okay. What do you mean no blood? Where's no blood? Blood means you're chayav misa.
Why? I already ran away from him.
One second. You're getting confused. Ain lo damim. We're talking about a different story. Remember, ain lo damim means you have no blood running through your veins because you are a roidef. You're going to kill someone over here.
But I'm not now. I stole it and I ran away. I'm not a roidef.
Good. Exactly. That's what we're saying. We're talking about a regular... The case of roidef is only when you're tunneling in. When you're tunneling in, that is when we had the question, are you a roidef or not? That's when we had, when you're inside, you're a roidef. Ain lo damim. When you leave, now you're yesh lo damim. Now we're talking about a regular case. A regular thief, yeah, who never came onto the question of a roidef at all. He just stole a watch. Stole a phone. Stole a wallet. He's not a roidef. He's just a regular yesh lo damim. Just like me and you. We have blood.
Yeah.
Even if I would be stealing the last cookie here, which is against the law, you're not allowed to take the last cookie. The last cookie has to just stay there. Yeah. Also, the last drop.
I was confused.
The last drop of drink. Yeah, you have to leave like a little bit in there. In England, that's how we do it.
I was confused.
Not allowed to finish off the bottle. So a regular case, a regular thief, if I would steal something from someone, and then Nansu, someone comes along and steals it from me. What's the din? What's the halacha? The candlesticks are still around. Yeah, I stole candlesticks. Not in a tunnel, regular candlesticks. And then these candlesticks were stolen from me. What's the halacha? Am I pata? Am I exempt?
But this is case...
Well, just answer me the question. Am I exempt from paying you from giving you the candlesticks back? From giving you the value of the candlesticks back?
Rob would say you were quiet.
You're thinking too much. You're thinking too much. What would you say? Victor, what would you say?
I think you should...
If I steal your phone, and then someone comes along and steals your phone from me, do I have to pay you back?
Yeah.
The phone is still around. It's not in my hands.
It's in
his hands.
His...
We don't know who that person
is. If somebody
is,
stole from me, he should pay. I don't care if he lost it or not.
Does everyone agree with that, Kadi?
I mean, makes sense. I mean, if somebody steals it from you, you have to pay anyways.
He stole
it to begin with.
He's
still around, but still you have to pay it. And the other person, that's a different story.
But ask you a question. How can I obligate you to pay the money? It was only a deposit. You never made a kinyan, never acquired it, according to Rava. You never acquired it, because it's still around. It's still shalem.
Even after it's stolen from the thief, it's still around.
Yeah.
Now, are we talking about the first thief or the second thief?
All we care about is the first thief. The first thief is the first thief. It's a tongue twister. First thief is the first thief obligated to pay for what he stole. Of course he is. Of course he is.
Rather said he acquired it. It's
his. So this, the Gemara says, this is an argument against Rava. This is a proof not like Rava. Rava says if it's still around, There's no acquisition. It's just a pikadon. It's just a deposit. Seeing as it's a deposit, it's not subject to the rules of kam lebe the rabbim unit. Yeah, you're not obligated to pay. You've just got to give it back. The Gemara says, no, you are obligated to pay him back. How do we know? Because if it would subsequently be stolen from you, of course you're obligated to pay him back. So we see it must be that there was a kinyan. Even though it's not a punishment per se, giving back the lost item, but it's still, you had to make, in order to mete out this punishment, yeah, and subsequently if it be stolen, in order to mete out punishment for it, we have to say that there, nevertheless, even though it's still shalem, there's still an acquisition, there's still a kinyan that you made on it. Therefore, you are obligated to pay it back. If, when you stole it, you were in a situation of ein lo damim, you're also going to be exempt because of kam lebe de rabbi minei. So this is the argument against Rava. Rava says it only makes sense if it's not around anymore. If it's still around, give it back. There's no kam lebe de rabbi minei. We say no, there is, because there was a kinyan, there was an acquisition. Therefore, we can still apply the rule of kam lebe de rabbi minei.
But if somebody stole, he can only return. If somebody stole from him, he should pay.
Sorry?
No, regular thief came and stole something. And he possesses this piece. There's two options. If he still has it, he should return. If somebody stole from him, he should pay. The first case, this is not punishment. A second case is punishment.
But it's the same situation. The same situation. The situation is, he stole something and it's still around. It's not in his possession anymore, but it's still be'ain. Be'ain means it's still in existence. So it has to. We have to say that there was a kinyan. And this is what the Gemara says. But Elokim, yeah, I promise you, Omar Rav, afilu natal. Even if it was taken, even if it's still in existence, he still is going to be putter, going to be exempt. Why? Daha yesh lo damim, because if it was a case of yesh lo damim, as we're saying, a regular thief, venensu, and it was stolen from him, chayiv, he's obligated to pay back. Alma, what do we see? Birshus kaimi. We see it is in his rishus, it's in his possession. He made an acquisition. Hachanami, here also, birshus kaimi. It was in his possession, and seeing as at the time it came into possession he was chayiv misa, we're going to say he's going to be exempt from the theft.
But the second thief has any responsibility for first thief or not? If you stole from him, what is relation between
the second and the first? I don't know. That's
a different
first
story.
You're asking the about one. The first one, then you can ask about the second
yeah,
one. Then
the
you're asking
one.
About the
yeah, but the second
then you're
one,
about the third
it's
one.
A completely different story because
that's another story.
Yeah. No, but this is for
a different laboratory.
Yeah, presumably the second. Yeah, they
no, second
down the hallway. Go down the hallway. Presumably the second thief would have to
return
back to the first thief,
first
who would have to return back to the owner.
One.
Depends on how he stole it.
How many people involved in this case?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little interesting.
Okay, so I'm sorry we didn't get that much further today, but that's what we got. We're going to see the Gemara is actually indeed going to argue on this proof, and he's going to back up Rava's opinion and say that no, Rava was right, and we'll there's a lot more back and forth. Flitting in and out of laboratories before we come to a conclusion.
Shkoyach,
Chag Sameach,
Good Moyev.